resetting some things. What a great way to begin our new year. Sometimes things just need to be reset. We introduced this last Sunday, talked about resetting our hearts. What a wonderful passage. I just love the passage from Luke 24 that we talked about last week about the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And at the end of the day, after they had spent some time with Jesus, realized that they had these burning hearts for God. And that's exactly what the Lord wants from all of us, these burning hearts. And we talked about that's how we reset our hearts last week. And we kind of introduced some things last week, especially around God's Word. And today, let's talk about a different aspect. We're going to talk about resetting our minds. And what does it mean to have more or less the mind of Christ and be thinking like Jesus? Resetting our minds. So here, as I say, we reset our minds, we need to put our imaginations on, okay? So let's think for a moment. So here's a scenario, and you think about this particular scenario. So tomorrow morning when you wake up, whatever your routine may be, as you maybe go into your kitchen, as you grab your first cup of coffee or whatever that looks like, there sitting at your kitchen table is Jesus. All right, so now we're like, wow, that's, if you weren't awake yet, you know, that kind of wakes you up, okay? So Jesus sitting at the kitchen table, he's already got coffee ready, got you a cup poured, offers you to have a seat at your kitchen table. And after you get through all the shock that Jesus has paid you a visit on this Monday morning, you kind of get through that, you do a little small talk and things like that. And now Jesus says, listen, I wanted to come this morning and give you an opportunity. He says, I want to give you my mind in all of its fullness. I want you to think just like me, and I'm going to give that to you. Now, that sounds really good. I think we'd all want that. We're actually talking about how do we have the mind of Christ, and so that's a good thing. But then Jesus says this. He says, in order for this to really have the maximum impact on people's lives, he said, here's something we need to do. He goes, I want people to see the miraculous change of your mind, and they need to see it this way. See, in order for people to really see that you have the mind of Christ, I want them to know how you think right now. So here's what I want to do. I want to take a recording of every thought you've had over the last week and make it public. To everyone you know, for 1 week, they're going to know exactly how you thought. I don't know about this, Jesus. Listen, I don't think anyone in the room would just be delighted that our thoughts are out there for anyone to see, to hear, to know. I think we'd all be rather appalled. What does that tell us today? It reminds us of this, the necessity of a reset mind. To think like Jesus thinks. What does that look like for us this morning? What happens and why is that a part of what we're talking about today? Understand, again, we talked about a reset heart, a reset mind, and what does that look like going into this new year? You know what? Think about the amount of processing our minds do on a regular basis. And even think about that from a Christian perspective. Think about how in our minds we decide to take paths of righteousness or paths of destruction. Sometimes we just make those choices. I'm going to walk down this road, though I know this is not a good path to follow, but we make the decision. Sometimes life is like standing at a crossroads, and we have to discern and determine, am I going to take a path of righteousness or a path of destruction? See, that all happens in the mind. It's in the mind where temptation lands, and all of a sudden, what is it? The temptation that ultimately, if you let it stay there, gives way to sin. It's in the mind where we decide to obey the Lord or not. Lord, it's in the mind of whether we're saying yes, Lord, or we're going to say no, Lord. It's in the mind where we're going to determine, Lord, I'm going to love you with my heart, soul, what mind, and strength, with all that I am. And I'm going to take it up. I'm going to ramp it up, Lord, just like you said, and I'm going to love my neighbor as yourself, as myself. So it happens in the mind like that. In the mind, we choose to grow further or closer to Christ. It's in the mind that we determine whether we're going to praise him with our tongues. And at the same time, well, are we going to do that? Are we going to be critical, complaining, and we're going to be gossips as well? We make those choices in our minds. In our minds, we determine whether we're going to be a forgiver or a grudge holder. Can you not see the magnitude of the processes that we take in our mind? Why it means that we need a reset mind. Satan understood the power of the mind. This is why when he approached Adam and Eve to lead them into sin, he started with the mind. You remember what? He started here with their thought processes. Paul picked up on that. Paul was very aware of that when he said in 2 Corinthians 11, but I am afraid, as he's talking to the Corinthian church, that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. It starts in the mind. It's his strategy. He attacks the mind. To attack our minds, to move us away from the Lord, to stop thinking about the Lord and have actions towards the Lord. And ultimately, what it means is that we become what we do. What we think is our actions and behaviors are based upon our thinking. So that's why Paul says in Romans 12:2 that we should not be conformed to this age or to this world. Do not be conformed, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Your renewing of our mind. J.B. Phillips translates that passage. I love how he says this. He says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within. What a beautiful word. Our minds. So what does it look like? What does a reset mind look like? I believe the Apostle Paul has something to say. We're in the book of Colossians this morning. We're in chapter 3. We're going to look at just one particular verse, but I kind of want to read these first four verses of Colossians chapter 3, and then we're going to stick with verse 2 for the remainder of our time. Colossians chapter 3, I'm reading from the Christian Standard Version of the Bible. That's what's coming up on the screens. You follow along in the version that you have before you. Paul says to these believers, so if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Set our minds on the things above. Even in verse 1, seek the things above. So we're going to just take that verse 2 and just say, what does this have to say to us today on this set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things? And so here's something that I have to process on a regular basis. And so understand that when there is a national or global event in our world, and as we're all watching that and getting news feeds, such as some events that have happened this past week that have been quite bothersome, quite discouraging, and things like that, especially around our nation's capital, as I get to those news feeds, here's the thing that I'm always thinking. Is there something going on in our world today that I need to make sure that I address with God's people on Sunday? Because you're all thinking it. And so it would be an irresponsibility for me to come and say, you know what, I've got something to say, but it's totally irrelevant to what's going on in our world. And so sometimes, you know, and it's not always that national or international whatever events dictate what I say, but at the same time, I want to be very sensitive to what I say and what I bring to you. So that was this past week. I had a sermon written, and I had everything ready, and I think, God, do I need to say anything different to God's people than what you've already led me to say? See, sometimes that happens. So you don't understand, back when COVID hit and all of the churches were shut down nationwide, we started shutting down. I was preaching through the book of Mark. And you might remember, but the first sermon that I was going to preach online, when there's just about a dozen of us here, just a few of us here, and you all were at home, the very next sermon after everything shut down was on, it was just through the book of Mark. I was just taking it chapter, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. It was on generosity and financial stewardship. Wow, wouldn't that have been encouraging for you? You know, you understand, you might not remember, I did not preach that sermon. Why? Because a national event said, you know what, we need something else. We need something more encouraging. So I went and skipped several verses into the book of Mark, and we landed in another place that was very encouraging for us. So there are times when those happen. So that was one of those days this week. I was just like, God, is there something different that I need to share than what I'm already sharing? And as I began praying through that, here's how God, I believe God was speaking to me. He said, absolutely not. You need to share what you've already written. So I just want to let you know that in light of our world, in light of our country, in light, it doesn't matter if you identify with any particular political party. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter. Here's the rubber where the rubber meets the road. That what we and God is about to share with us through Colossians 3, verse 2 is what we need to hear. And he says, set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. Let me go ahead and say, and before you're thinking, it's not anything like I'm going to be, here, the adage is that I'm so heavenly minded, I'm no earthly good. It's not that. And it's not even to the fact that I'm going to be so focused on heaven that I totally disregard and am totally oblivious and have no care about these things in the world. It's not even like that as well. Actually, what we're going to find in the course of these next few minutes together is that the more we look here, the better we are. That's what it is. The more I look here, the better I navigate life, the better I handle life, the better I see, have a better perspective here right now. So that's where we find ourselves. So here's a couple of things out of Colossians 3. So I just kind of wanted to let you see that there's always a process, there's always a lot of prayer, there's always a lot of consideration coming to this moment right here, because the last thing I want to do is stand up and say something that's totally irrelevant for your life today that doesn't have any impact on what's going on. And so every Sunday, I'm attempting to bring the very best of God's word to our lives so that we can walk away and saying, I've got a word. I know what to do. Colossians 3, I believe, does that for us today. Colossians 3 in verse 2, set your minds on the things above, not on the things of this earth. Here, and what it tells us two things. Here's the first thing it tells us. It's about a mind reset. And the first thing it tells us is that we need to reset our minds by where we focus our minds. And so here, this is not rocket science. This is not like these massive, profound, scripture texts that just like, oh, you know, all that. But I want you to know, I believe today it becomes very simplistic. I believe today is just like, I get it, and it's a reminder of where we need to be. And so what we find here, where we reset our minds. We reset our minds by where we focus, and so that is it. Paul says, set our minds on things above, which actually literally means to set our minds on the things of Christ. Where is Christ? He's reigning in heaven, but he is present with us. But it's about focusing on our Lord, setting our minds on him. It doesn't mean, again, that we give up on this world and only focus on the world to come and just our promised future and just say, fooey on the rest of you guys. I'm saved and I've got an eternal dwelling waiting on me and that's all I'm focused on. And you know what? Can't wait to get there. It's nothing like that. Here, I want to borrow a word from C.S. Lewis from his book, Mere Christianity. Lewis says this. He says, the Christians who did the most in the present world were those who thought most of the next. Now that's good. You do, the ones who did the most here thought the most of there. He goes on to say this though. Listen, this is very convicting. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this world. Oh, wow, that hurts. Maybe it is that we think little here and because of that, we have less effectiveness here. So let me give you just a couple of thoughts. Here, I just get really practical there because this is where we focus our minds. We're focusing them on Christ. We're putting them on Lord. How do we do that? Is there a way to that we can kind of do that with some consistency? I think there is. I want to share with you too. I think there's a lot more if we sat down and just kind of really thought through it. There's probably several. I believe there's several ways we can do that. But here, let me give you a couple of things. Actually, this becomes very simple, and it's understanding though, sometimes, you know, the simplest things are the things that are most beneficial. It doesn't have to be, again, it doesn't have to be like, wow, mind exploding to be true and to be something we need to do. How do I keep my minds on the things above? Well, first, you got to stay in God's word. You know what? We have got to be reading God's Word, reading and studying God's Word. Thank you again, Pastor Scott, step here as a testimony. He and Landon expressed their connecting through God's Word just last week and what he testified there and brought that to us. God's Word, just like last week, you talk about how it resets the heart, it also resets the mind. And we, you know, listen, think about how inundated our minds are with information on a regular basis. Even this morning, you have been so inundated with information. Even this morning, if you have turned on your television, your computer, or you've kind of perused Facebook or anything on it's digital, you have been inundated with marketing, with ads and everything. It's just coming at you. Think if you multiply that here. It's not even 12 o'clock and you've been inundated with all this information, and that's not even half a day. Think about the inundated information that just keeps coming at us, and then people sitting around tables somewhere in a big office building determining how we can capture minds of people more, okay? How can we make the video shorter? How can we make it more compelling? How can we use the right colors? How do we use the right font? They're thinking about that kind of stuff. So why? To engage us so that we're locked in. They want to engage our minds. So what does it tell us? Well, my goodness, I need a balance on that one. I think you do as well. Because I think all of us need a reset mind, and that's going back to God's Word to determine and help us get through life. I love what Charles Swindoll says regarding this, and he says this: the better you get to know the Word of God, the less confusing is the will of God. What a good word for us, just to remind us that, you know, staying in God's Word really clears up the will of God in a lot of areas for our life. You know, it's not too late. We introduced E100 last week. I hope you've been enjoying that and getting in on E100. And Amy and I have been doing that together, and we're doing it through the YouVersion Bible app. If you'd like some more and know more about that, that's just 100 Bible verses that we're doing together as a church, 50 from the Old Testament, 50 from the New Testament, and we're just kind of navigating. It's on the YouVersion Bible app. There's a E100 guide and actually a little wrist bracelet like this right here just to remind you about doing God's Word together. So God's Word, let's do that together. Here, where we focus our minds, it's not just on God's Word, but also here, how else do we develop this reset mind? Is that we focus our minds on the things above. It's through God's Word, and listen, let's through prayer. Let's just be reminded that God connects, and we connect with Him through prayer, and He's given us this wonderful avenue to stay in tune with Him through prayer. Do you realize that, you know what happens in prayer? If you really take it seriously, you know what you realize? And here's why. You know, it's not real consciously, but you get to understand who is in control. It's not you. It's not me. Do you realize that through prayer, we suddenly realize where we place our trust? Through prayer, we understand that we're not created for independence, but I'm created for dependence. I'm depending on God. Through prayer, we're reminded that I can take cares and worries and burdens to the Lord. I'm reminded that God is a hearer, and He also speaks truth into my life. Through prayer, I'm reminded of the necessity of staying connected with the Heavenly Father. I'm reminded of John 15:5. It says, He's the vine, I'm the branches, and He who abides in me and I in Him, He bears fruit apart from me. Apart from Him, we do nothing. Beautiful. We set our minds by where we focus our minds, the things above, and we focus our minds, and we do that through God's Word and through prayer. Do you realize what happens, though? Here, just a few things I've told you through prayer, but here, just real quickly, what happens when we focus our minds on things above? Like we gain an eternal perspective. Isn't that what we need? It's hard to live sometimes it's hard to live with an eternal view. Sometimes we get caught up in things to where it's hard to live in this eternal view. Why? Because we get into traffic jams and we can't get out because we have a Facebook post to make and we're trying to go out to dinner with our family and we're trying to do work stuff and plan a vacation and buy shoes and all this kind of stuff. Do you realize that was just a few things, and some of you have made all those decisions today? And then you multiply that by another 100 or 200 or 300 things that you're processing all the time. And do you know what ultimately happens in all those little things that we're trying to do on a daily basis? Somehow, in some way, God gets lost in the story, and who God is and His activity and His presence kind of gets pushed aside. Because why? Because I've got to get through this traffic jam. Because I've got to get dinner on the table. Because I've got to help the kids with homework. And I've got to get ready for tomorrow morning. And all of this keeps rolling. And all of a sudden you say, well, where's God in the midst of that? And we miss that sometimes. And I understand all those things need to get done. Homework needs to get done. Supper needs to be prepared. You've got to get through that traffic jam. I think it just reminds us in the midst of it, God is reminding us that there's more. We're created in Christ Jesus for eternity. And when we set our minds on Christ, we can go through those things with eternal perspectives. Here, it's simpler. Jesus kind of helps us with this when he says in Matthew chapter 6, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy or where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Basically, it's this. Jesus saying, don't let earthly things keep you from focusing on eternal things. Don't let the earthly things so overwhelm you that you can't see the eternal perspective in everything. See, this impacts the church as well. It's not just for our personal lives. It happens in the life of a church. If we can get so focused on earthly things, you know what happens in the life of a church? It becomes more like, wow, what about me, my wants, and everything? And suddenly we can get to a point to where, you know what, if we're going to focus not on the eternal and on the heavenly things, but on the earthly things, we begin to complain, we begin to have critical spirits, we begin to gossip more, and all these things begin to happen, and we turn on each other, and we begin to say, what about me? But let me tell you what an eternal perspective does. It reminds me, my neighbor needs to know Jesus. I need to pray for somebody. They have an eternal perspective. It reminds me that there are lost people that need to be invited in. It reminds me that the church is the only institution that exists for people who aren't here yet. We exist for those who aren't here. You see how the difference? You see how Satan wants to capture our minds and put us only on earthly things? Because when it's on earthly things, it becomes about what I don't have, what I want to have, and it takes our minds off God. What happens when we focus our minds on things above? We gain an eternal perspective, but then here's just one of the things of this world really lose their appeal. I find that when I focus on the Lord, things of this earth lose their appeal. Sin becomes less attractive. And sin becomes less tolerable. The less we consider who God is and forget what he has done for us, the more likely sin comes into our lives. I was reading about an interview that was going on with a room full of astronauts. And so we had these astronauts, and they're asking these questions about space travel and stuff. But here was one of the questions that said this: what do you think is the single most important key to successful space travel? The single most thing, you can think of everything you could say, the single thing that makes space travel successful, and it was one of the astronauts that spoke up and said, the secret of traveling in space is to take your own atmosphere with you. Well, that sounds good, isn't it? Yeah, think about it. You're going in a place where there's no oxygen. I need to take my atmosphere with me in order to thrive, in order to survive. Now, that's a wonderful word for the believer. We need to be taking our Christian, Christ-centered, Christ-minded atmosphere with us. Setting our minds on the things above and carrying the atmosphere of Christ with us wherever we go. So what we find? We're resetting our minds. But where we focus our minds, but here, one more, this last one, about what we free from our minds. There's something we just got to free up our minds sometimes. So I'm setting them here, but it doesn't automatically mean that I'm freeing my minds of these things. Your mind, listen, do you realize that at one time, pre-knowing Jesus, your mind was occupied and actually was the territory, Satan's territory. He had you. He had your heart. He had your mind. And he doesn't give up ground easily. And he always wants to come back and reorient you to the things that he has going on and doesn't want you to have thinks and thoughts of God. Listen, Satan again comes back and he says to Eve, this is how he attacks the life of the mind. Did God really say? Can you imagine? What does he do? Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? So with one question, he puts this doubt into her mind, which puts her on the journey of disobedience, which allows sin to come into the world. What does it tell us? We need to be vigilant to protect our minds from toxic thoughts and lies of the evil one. Listen, that's why when we've talked about Ephesians chapter 6 and the armor of God, and we put on the armor of God, that's why the helmet of salvation is a crucial part of the armor of God. It protects the mind. God, protect my mind from evil. Protect my eyes. Protect my ears. Protect my mouth. It's the protection. That's why we need it, so that I hear and know what you are saying. Protect me. So sometimes we need to do some weeding of the mind. just like you would step out in your garden or step out into your landscaping, whatever, and periodically pull up the weeds like I do and probably like you do as well. You pull up, sometimes we just got to pull some weeds. And so here I want to help you with a couple of things that we need to weed from our minds in order to be freeing up our minds and to better set them on the things above. We need to free up from our minds worry. There's a lot to be worried about. There's so much uncertainty in our world. We don't know what's going on. There's so much uncertainty in everything, everywhere we turn. And we're concerned, and we get a lot of information that we try to process and things like that. And ultimately, what worry ends up doing is it begins to manifest itself in fearfulness and in anxiousness. Regardless, we know exactly what Jesus has said. Jesus has told us, don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Paul picks up on the admonition of worry as he says, don't worry about anything. Anything. That's anything. Oh, anything. But in everything. Through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Oh, so instead of the worry, here, let's go to him in prayer. And then verse 7 is powerful. And what happens when you do that? He says, well, the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful word. Worry needs to be weeded from the mind of the believer. And actually, sometimes we just kind of consider, I think we treat worry too lightly. Sometimes we just want worry to be the very thing. It's like, I just need to get over it. Just kind of get over it. I don't need to worry. I'm going to kind of get over it. I think it needs to be dealt with a little bit more severely. I think worry needs to be rather radical. And instead of saying, that's something I'm going to get over, we need to say, that's something I need to repent of. Oh, you know, really, you think it's that bad? I think it's that bad because worry, you know, listen to what happens when we worry. We cease to trust. We cease to walk in faith. I'm worried. I'm anxious. I'm fearful. What does that mean? I've taken my eyes off of here. I've put them here. And I'm no longer following what God wants me to do. I'm no longer being able to hear his voice because I'm trying to take care of it. So worry becomes the counterpart to our trusting in God. So then, yeah, I need to repent of that and say, God, forgive me because I'm not trusting you. I'm trusting in myself. I'm trusting in man. I'm trying to figure all this out. That needs to be weeded up. Here's the second one that we just need to pull out of our minds. It's not just worry, but it's anger. Anger needs to be pulled out of our minds. Like worry, anger's a weed that needs to be eradicated. James tells us everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Then he says the anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. He tells us anger doesn't need anything good for us. Proverbs 29 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise person keeps it in check. Paul said so much about anger. Paul even said that we ought to deal with it quickly. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So simple here today. I'm going to reset my mind about where I'm putting my focus. I'm putting it here. But what I'm freeing my mind from, I'm going to free it up from these couple of things. But at the bottom line is that I look here, it means I'm better here. As I look here and keep my eyes here, I navigate life better. As I look here, I'm able to make decisions better. As I look here, I'm able to take information that I don't like, but I'm able to process it better and understand that there's a God who's in control and he's taking care of this. As I look here, I understand that I am here to be salt and light in the midst of this world. As I look here, I understand that there's more for me to do than what I'm doing and that I have people that need to that are depending on me. There are people that I need to share the love of Christ with. So you've probably heard of a spoonerism. Some of you may be very proficient in spoonerisms. Sometimes they just happen and you can't hardly control it in your mind. It's, you know, a spoonerism actually is named after it was a pastor who was always known for reversing the words and making up unusual words based on, you know, just because he flipped a few of the words and stuff. His last name was Spooner. Hence, spoonerism. So when you reverse a word, you might say something like, instead of saying one fell swoop, you might say one swell foop. Spoonerism. Or you might say it's pouring rain. You would say, well, that's a roaring pain. See how that could be rather comical? And so I was reading of a man who was talking to his friend, and this one man was trying to memorize Bible verses more. And he had taken and written Bible verses on little note cards. And he, in the course of the conversation with his friend, he reaches into his backpack and he pulls out his note cards. Here's what he wanted to say. He wanted to say, "I'm going to review my verses." But instead of saying that, he says, "I'm going to reverse my views." Wow, that's interesting. But here, I want you to know that's a powerful truth for us today. That Spoonerism was really good for us. Because sometimes we need to think about reset minds is about reversing our views. And it's about taking our eyes from here and it's about putting them there. Reverse my view. God, I want to have a view here so I'm doing better here. Eugene Peterson, from his translation, The Message, brings Colossians 3:2 with just a little oomph that I thought was so special for us this morning. So Colossians 3:2, which is already said, set your minds on the things above and not on the things of this earth. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up, be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective. That is a reset mind. And that is where God calls us today. You need some resetting done? You need some rethought and refocus this morning? Maybe there's a lot of areas in your life right now. Maybe it has something to do with worry. Maybe you're holding on to some anger that needs to be let go of. We want to help you this morning. There's encouragers that will be standing here at the altar when we close. They'd love to pray with you and encourage you and listen this morning. They're here for you. Maybe there's a reset mind on this aspect as well. Maybe for the very first time, what you're understanding, okay? Cognitively, it happens in the mind. And what you're understanding is that you need a relationship with Jesus. You need to have it's a mind reset. And you're even wondering, why am I thinking this right now? It's because the Spirit of God is calling you into a relationship and He wants you to know Him right now. Do you need to reset your mind and you need to say, "Yes, Jesus, I want to have a relationship with you"? And you have no idea and understanding really what that means. You just know that He is calling you. We want to help you with that. These encouragers can help you with that. I'd love to help you personally out at Meet the Pastor here in a moment, where I'll meet our guest here in just a moment. It's reset. If you're watching with us online and you're thinking that very same thing, how can I have a relationship with Jesus here in a moment? If you just hear that there's an email address that's coming up, if you just let us know, info@southhavenchurch.org, or give us a call, we'd love, and just say, help me. To have a relationship with Christ, and we'll follow up with you very quickly. Maybe it's a decision you haven't made yet. Maybe it's about obedience. You see, in our minds, it's where we disobey. Maybe one of the areas of disobedience for you is maybe you're saying, "Well, I'm saved, but I've never been baptized. What does that look like for me?" I got a couple of baptisms we're working on right now that will be happening here in the next few weeks. Maybe you're saying, "What does it mean to have baptism? What does baptism look like? How can I be a part of that?" We want to help you with that. What is God saying to you today that you need to be resetting in your life? God's calling you. Now it's our turn to obey what He's asking us to do.